I remember. Well, I remember I started to dream. I was flying, like an eagle over Paris. And dear André was with me, holding my hand. We were looking down at the buildings and the people and the Seine. And it was beautiful. So beautiful. But then, the skies above us changed. The clouds turned so black and thunder raged around us. And then this voice spoke to us. Look down, Marie, and André Dupré. Look down at the river. And oh, Lisa, I screamed. The beautiful blue Seine had become red, scarlet, crimson. For the water was now blood. Where is it coming from? I begged André to tell me, but he could not. We started to fall towards the city, and we could see the horror. Oh, the horror. They were storming the Bastille. And that was only the beginning. The blood. So much blood. A reign of terror with thousands dying. Our beautiful city bleeding to death. And then the voice spoke again. This will happen, it said. This is your future. I began to wail. You can change your future, the voice continued. Leave Paris now. Leave tonight. As I continued to wail, the voice went on. It promised us that if we left, it would provide us with luck and fortune. André would become a successful businessman, and I would continue to keep my beauty until the day I died. I stopped wailing. I listened as André, always so clever, asked the voice what it wanted in return. And it only said one word. Josette, my dear, beautiful daughter. What did it want with her? If you stay in Paris, she will still live a long life, but she will be penniless. If you do as I say, she will be rich and beautiful until the day she dies. André began to answer, but I interrupted, saying that we would do as the voice commanded. And then I woke up. And I looked over at André, and it was clear that he had had the same dream. He said that he would go to find his sister, and that I should start packing. We would join his cousins in Martinique. With that, he left, and I looked down, opening my hand and seeing that crimson pearl. And I knew that it had spoken to us. It terrified me to even look at it, and then I realized. It had given us our future. So what further use did we have for it? So a few hours later, when we left our beautiful city, I left the pearl in my room. Let it share its strange luck with another. Bien amicalement, Marie Dupré.
January 1791. A lonely orphan from New York writes to her cousin at Collinwood, little realizing the deadly web she has become ensnared in.
Dear Cousin Joshua, thank you for your kind words after the dreadful deaths of Mama and Papa. Collinwood sounds wonderful, and of course I would love to take you up on your kind offer to stay. That is, naturally, if I can tear myself away from New York for even a moment. The parties, the plays, the fashions, utterly, utterly exhausting. You simply must come and visit us. Mother and Father knew so many people. They have left quite a hole in New York society. They were often seen driving through town in their coach and horses. They did so every day. It's funny when you think of it, their horses bolting like that. How dreadful that it should happen on such a fine day, with only the lightest dusting of snow. Of course, I have much to remember them by, including Mother's fine jewels. Why, as I write to you, I am wearing the Crimson Collins, a rare red pearl.